Livingston, Pete Livingston, and Sam Livingston. Those Livingston brothers.
Couple of bros.
Bunch of bros.
Having fun.
Young bros having fun. Doing bro things. Growing out. Bro. So many bros. So many bros.
What's your favorite brosm? Like,
Cheat and Lift, bro. That's still my favorite. That'll never get old. Like, I guess it was so great. So one of the guys are catching.
Oh, by the way, you're listening to Los Livingston Brothers.
Oh, are you recording right now?
Yeah.
Good. Sam will be here in a minute with refreshment for us. He just asked me what my favorite broism is. And I told him, do you even lift, bro? I was about to tell you the story about how one of our players was out and about, and some dude who was in a shirt two sizes too small for him came up because, you know, they're like wearing team gear or something like that, and they're out. He didn't even like come up and say, do you work for the team? He's like, yo, dude, what type of lifts do you do? He's like, you do bench press? And I'm just like dying laughing at this. That's like the first thing. It's so funny how those guys get, the fucking gym bros, that they're all like, yo, bro, like, what do you use? Like, you do protein after, before, you know? Like, what do you do?
What do you do, Tim?
I do a lot of fat, and that's about it. I a lot of fat. A lot of fat. Yeah, a lot of fat. Good fat, bad fat, a lot of fat. And it settles in this area right here.
So. How's that work? Are you getting the desired effect?
I am. I'm getting the desired effect. Tired all the time. Don't feel like doing anything. But hungry. I'm hungry a lot. I don't know how that works. But, Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what show this is? 69. 169.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Didn't we do a 169?
No.
No?
No, we didn't do 169.
Oh, God.
So, but we're here.
Tim, you cracked me up, man.
I'm glad, because if I didn't, we probably wouldn't have enough entertainment.
So, last show, we talked a lot about the Giants trade deadline. The Giants, the A's, baseball in general. Let's go ahead and do a fun little thing. Who do you have winning the World Series? Not who you want to win the World Series, but who do you have winning the World Series?
Like, I'm trying to talk myself out of the A's.
I am too.
And it's
because I always go with
the A's. And it's because of the pitching. Like, this is really being the idea. Like, look, I want pitching. I want to be able to say, look, I got four good guys I can throw out there, and I'm going to live and die with these guys. That's his MO. He's like, I'm going to throw Gray, I'm going to throw Shark, I'm going to throw Lester, and I'm going to throw Kazmir, and those are my four guys. There you go. Come and get me. See what you got.
Where you at, bro? And come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro.
Which I think might be my favorite broism.
But the other team that did just what they did was the Tigers.
Yeah.
Now the Tigers have
David Price.
Okay, so
Scherzer.
So let's play this game. If you have Scherzer,
Tigers,
Price,
I'm just saying it right now. Tigers,
Scherzer, Price, Verlander, Anibal Sanchez, and Rick Porcello.
Yeah, I'm
telling
you.
Who do you say? Who do you say? Oh, you know,
nobody.
You're not going to be a part of our postseason rotation. You guys aren't going to be. Who the fuck? You know who you tell right now at this moment?
David Price,
Verlander.
Oh, true.
Which is incredible. Verlander threw two incredible starts against the A's last year. In the playoffs.
Lost one of them.
But he was incredible.
But he lost.
And now, you're about to say, you know what? Right now, we like these other four guys. We're about to tell your highest paid pitcher that. It's crazy. So, I'm trying to talk myself out of the A's because I think they have the best overall team. The Angels have the scariest offense. Plus, they have, but their pitching is
scariest offense?
Yeah. Pujols hitting like Pujols. The greatest player on planet Earth. Josh Hamilton hitting okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm surprised
That's
with?
Scary.
I'm surprised on how long it's taken Albert Pujols to get
he's
back.
Finally healthy.
To get back to Albert Pujols.
He's finally healthy.
Yeah.
And he's deciding to swing harder. He's not trying to be selective up there. He's just trying to fucking hit the fuck out of baseball, and it's working for him. No one in the AL East. Like the Orioles. If the Orioles are the best team in the AL East, nope. Even if the Blue Jays get there, they hit the fuck out of some baseballs, but they don't have the pitching. They don't have the arms. And then in the NL, the Dodgers have the best pitching. The Nationals are a pretty good pitching team.
There's something about the Dodgers I'm not sold on.
It's their
Dodgers.
Offense. It's their offense.
I'm just
and
not.
Hanley Ramirez is always hurt. You have Puig, who's incredible. You have D. Gordon's having a great year. Matt Kemp is starting to look like Matt Kemp because, oh, what a surprise. He's finally healthy. Adrian Gonzalez is doing okay. But it's like, that's a team that's like the Giants. And, like, offensively, they still have some things they need to work on. The pitching is getting it by right now. That's what's getting them the wins. And so, the Cardinals are tough because their offense isn't as good as people thought it was going to be. The Nationals are the same way on offense, but they have good pitching.
Talk about a fall from grace.
Yeah. It's not that they have a fall from grace, but like the Brewers, I think the Brewers right now are a better team. And, I mean, the other team in that division that no one's really talking about is the Reds. And it's like, they're
nobody
hurt.
Ever talks about them, because they're
in, but they're hurt.
They're in
Ohio. If they get healthy, then it's like, oh, fuck, here we go, right? So, obviously the Cardinals are there, and obviously the Pirates are there, but the Pirates seem to be falling
McCutcheon just got hurt.
McCutcheon just got hurt. He got hit by a pitch. They're not going to play Pedro Alvarez at third base anymore. Well, it's gonna be interesting, but I'm really trying to talk myself out of the A's. The only team that I can say right off the top of my head that can say, "Yeah, fuck the A's," is the Tigers. It's the only team. It's because of their pitching.
True.
And if the A's win the AL West and the Angels get the wild card, which they're supposed to, because the second wild card becomes interesting because the Mariners are good. And then the other teams that are contending, like the Indians, the Royals, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Rays now becoming a dark horse. The A's will face whoever the winner of that is, and then most likely will face the Tigers in the ALCS. And it's like, That ALCS is going to be fucking nuts.
Yeah.
That's going to be fucking nuts.
Scale of 1 to batshit crazy.
Batshit crazy? Jack Kevorkian. All right, that's how fucking crazy that is. But yeah, so there you go. I like the A's.
What about the Crushers? Or the Stompers?
Stompers doing good.
Where will they be?
They'll be in the Pacific Association of Baseball Clubs championship game come the end of the year.
Who wins it?
Us, over the Pacifics.
Then what happens afterwards?
Then we get drunk because we're freaking happy. That
can
we're
I go?
Drunk. You can go. You can be there.
Yeah, you're I'm right, eyebrow.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. Oh, it's because of my hat. Yeah, I know. I have my hat.
But it doesn't look like you were...
Like I'm expressionly...
you were doing like the rock eyebrow. Right. Just super... intense talking about the Stompers.
You hear me right now? You hear me right now? Yeah. I could do it looking at you.
Can you do the eyebrow then?
No, I can't because I lower one eyebrow. The other
well, that's fine. Yeah. That's okay. Do it.
Come See, on. I can't do it. I'm trying to do it right now. So.
See, I can't no, do you just did it with your left one.
Yeah, I can do it with my left one.
Can you do your right one? Mm-hmm. Try it.
Yeah, I can't fucking do it.
It's the worst. That's pretty shitty.
It was pretty horrible. I don't know where Sam is right now. Sam, where are you? Sam, where are you with our beer? Sam, we need you to be here so we can talk about Debo.
I got a question for you.
Sure. Yeah, so, you have so many questions for me.
There's a theory
that...
Is it called the theory of relativity?
No, I don't believe in that. That's bullshit.
Fuck science.
That's not true. I love science. I do believe...
Shout out to Neil Tyson deGrasse, or whatever the fuck his name is. Cosmos, 9 a.m., Fox, or PM.
Shut up.
Go ahead. Free plug. I'll give them 2 viewers.
Yeah, you're the worst. So, there's a theory where actions, certain actions, like eyebrow raising, cannot be learned by certain... Do you believe that?
Yeah, because...
I don't.
No, because like the the curling of the tongue thing. That's incredible.
That's
incredibly
creepy.
Oh my god.
And I think from now on we will do a text message instead of
banging on the group. That's okay, Sam. We got you. Here's my question.
Alright, crawl under.
Here's my question. What do you get? Oh, he got Flaming Hot Funyuns.
Oh, mosquitoes.
Oh, mosquitoes.
And Lost Codes.
Oh, look at that. Great white. Fun on there.
Cheetos.
Great white. I like it.
There we go.
Nice work, Sam.
So, that's the sound of a sponsor hanging on the table.
Yeah, there
you go. So, you are of a believer that...
Oh, yeah, there are certain things that, like...
Oh, so go on, you're saying the tongue thing. I beg to differ.
Sam forgot something.
Yeah. What do you forgot?
Burrito.
Oh, burrito?
Yeah.
Here, do this.
Alright, what do you hit?
Never mind. Hound.
Hold on.
This
is part of the. This is so entertaining. Alright, Mission Impossible, go. Sam just.
Fuck.
Sam just rolled out of the room.
Alright, fake laugh, McGee, shut up.
No. Remember in 21 Jump Street where he tries to roll over the couch and he just trips and falls on his face? And then instead of shooting him, he fucking throws his gun at him. That just kind of reminded me of that.
So learned things.
Yeah, I think there's things that can't be learned. Like this face. You can't learn this face. These.
What if I told you I could teach you how to do the tongue thing?
Damn it. I can think of some of our female listeners that would be very excited about it.
Can you go like this? Okay.
Yeah.
You just don't have to do it like that, though.
I mean.
I just said, could you do it like this? Okay. So you can do that.
Yeah. It's the taco tongue, if you're wondering.
Sam will be with me.
I'm trying to do the clam.
So you don't think you can do
put
the clam?
Put your tongue back in your
listen,
mouth.
Hang on. So, according to the theory, you will not be able to do the clam cup.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? Sam is bearing witness, live on this podcast.
Yes.
That
2 years in.
You will, I'm going to, in what, like a minute, you will be able to do the clam cup.
Oh, fuck, no, really?
Yep, okay. So, all you have to do, close your mouth, and then... Bring your tongue back to your teeth. Like this.
I can't do it.
And close. Almost had it. Okay, so you're not curling up. Like this.
I can't do it. God damn it.
It's getting there.
It's good.
So put your... God damn it.
Okay. Where's the tire? Sam,
how it should be.
It's not the right way to hold a beer.
Oh, it's okay. That's normal.
Okay. So tip of the tongue.
Thank you.
This is great radio. Can't do it.
You're so close.
I know. That's what she said. And then I stopped.
And then what kind of burrito did you have?
Just carne asada.
And is that from the greatest that is La Bamba?
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, La Bamba, located on Highway 12, just across the street from the Sonoma Mission Inn. Right there by Larbra Automotive. They're open like at 7. If you ever come to Sonoma and you're pissed that there are places that are not open late in Sonoma for you to get food, go to La Bamba and then just thank the great Lord above that we have that type of food in fucking Sonoma that late at night.
So you really think that there are certain things that cannot be
learned? I think so. It's just because there's like...
Regardless, you could put in practice time... Infinite amount of practice.
I mean, I just feel like there are certain things that you're predisposed to do, and there. I'm not saying that there are things that can't be learned, but it's not like all of them are something you can learn. There's things you can learn and things you can't.
Like that,
I do find that hard to believe.
I know. Sam, welcome. He just put a flaming hot Cheeto on his burrito.
You're about to bear witness to me trying something completely awful. Here we go.
Not that you... No, I would say this, but Flaming Hot Fritos were in a Taco Bell burrito, so... I kind of have a feeling that's delicious. I kind of have a feeling it's delicious.
Not bad. It sort of reminds me of shrimp for a second.
Okay, so you know what the go-to is now at La Bamba?
What?
If you want to pay the extra money? No beans, extra meat.
Interesting. Do you do that?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm not a big fan of beans in a burrito. And I know why people do like them. But for me, I always felt they took away from the taste of everything else in the burrito.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because they're bland. And beans are one of those things that if you taste the bean first, it takes away from other things. And so, that's just how my palate is, Pete. You just have to learn to love it.
That's you know what, though? Most people would say bullshit. But with you, I believe it.
Is it because I'm fat and I've eaten enough that you think I have the experience? I think I have the experience.
That's one reason,
Thank you.
But also because... You know what else I found funny? Was that there's three brothers.
Yeah.
And we are the three sizes.
Yeah.
Small, medium, large.
Yeah, we're definitely like...
You notice that? Right?
And neither the twins meet between all three of us. Sam will always be skinny. You always be that...
So I'm like, Ellie will be skinny.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hopefully.
So, but yeah. So what were we going to talk about? Now that Sam's here. Welcome, Samuel, by the way.
Hey.
You're welcome.
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
I don't know. I am of the other mind to think that you can learn that shit.
You could. Some stuff you can. I think there are things you can't learn, but I would have to think about it first. Like, I'd have to really...
Is that Millie?
I think so.
It can't be Millie.
Right. Continue.
So
things that you can learn besides pleasing people with your tongue.
Masturbating.
Yeah, masturbating.
Bleaking.
What is it that you find most interesting, whether you can learn it or not? Or rather, what is one of those interesting things that people say you can learn that you're not, like, that isn't proven?
I think, do the whole whistle thing?
Yeah, that's... I think it's possible, but it's physical. But
there's
it's
also, there's also the whole hand snap that people who dip that thing...
No, that's not true, because there's kids that do that.
Well, yeah, but they just do it out of... Like, I could do that to say no. I'd break my wrist again.
Well, you just relax the fingers. And...
Thank you, yeah.
Well, you're just... God, I'm
limp-wristed, too. I'm limp-wristed.
Well, that's... You need to be limp-wristed.
Hey, now. Yeah, welcome, Sam.
That's the 15th time you've welcomed him since he's coming.
I feel like I need to welcome him because he's sitting here on your futon eating a fucking burrito. Now you're eating a big burrito.
You want to buy it?
I don't. I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm going to get my own burrito.
Thanks,
Pete. You motherfucker. The
the
youngest of us has a job.
Yeah.
Sam now works at Mary's Pizza Shack.
What is he doing?
Which is awesome.
What was that, Italian?
That was Mario.
Back to the Goofy?
It does that in one of those games, and I laughed so hard when I ordered it.
It worked.
Him and Luigi. Anyway.
Shout out to Luigi Death Stare. By the way, we have not had a shout out since Luigi Death Stare became a meme. Mario Kart 8. That's an incredible meme. That's the meme of the year.
That's like something you'd see in like a Godfather movie. Like he's just driving up next to you, slow motion, and he's just giving you the stare like you're about to die. And then cheer out your wheels, you fly over a fucking ravine, you're dead.
Except this time you're on Rainbow Road and you are in space. So.
Mm-hmm.
Do NBA?
I think the NBA is. It was a big deal at the time, but now it's like, whatever. Like, it was that quick. Like, it was really like, oh, LeBron did what he was going to do? Okay, we're done. Like, there was...
LeBron went back to Cleveland, though.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's big. And now, like the Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Love deal, that's supposedly, like, very close to happening. I heard something about it this evening when I was driving over.
Did you read Bill Simmons' article on that?
On LeBron returning?
Simmons. No, on Wiggins.
Oh, I don't think it should happen. I hate the fact that Cleveland's going to trade for Kevin Love. They're doing it because they want to put Irving and Love.
But which is still awesome on paper. But you do think about Wiggins, Irving,
and LeBron.
And LeBron.
I mean, that's dirty. And
that's like best backcourt.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, I feel if Kevin Love really wants to play with LeBron that bad, you go get him next year when he becomes a fucking free agent.
True.
Because LeBron's going to be able to opt out after a year. He's going to be more money in the league because of the new TV deal. Salary cap's going to go up. You'll have probably a little bit more room to sign Kevin Love. And you'll tell Kevin, like, Kevin, I know you want a max deal, but you can play with LeBron and be able to give you an escalated deal. You won't make max money, but you'll be there. Right? And so if you're Kevin Love, and you're Minnesota, it's like, oh yeah, we need to trade him. I would tell Cleveland, like, look, we're gonna play.
Is Cleveland a small market team?
Yes. Compared to other teams in the NBA, yeah.
Was Miami a small market team?
No, Miami's a top 5 media market. Top 10.
What is the top 5? Boston, LA.
LA, New York. So there's two LA teams. Two New York teams.
Well, I'm just saying cities.
Well, no, but that's
not teams.
Like the what? But they're in the big markets. So Dallas is technically a big market team.
I guess states.
Right, but like Golden State's supposedly a big market team. Supposedly, San Francisco's
a. They're a novelty now. Right now, they're a novelty in the NBA. People would like to watch them. They're not.
It's Steph Curry, the fucking G. Oh, we know what, we'd be remiss in not talking about the whole horrific Paul George thing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even look at it. I heard, I need to look. Never gonna look.
Oh, I saw it. I didn't know what it was. It got linked.
Fucking Ramin, as soon as I saw, like, so I want to thank the internet.
So he did see
it. No. I want to thank the internet wherever I was because it was a gift. And so it was slow.
Yes.
And I saw a basketball court and I immediately closed.
Did oh, the freaking broken...
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I saw that live.
It was horrible. It was horrible. So, he's done for the year. The Pacers are done for the year. They don't have Lance.
There's been a crazy growing trend of that.
Yeah, Lance goes to Charlotte. The Hornets are back.
No, I just mean... There's been a crazy growing trend of the broken...
Yeah... I don't know how that happens. The Kevin Ware injury. Yeah, second time this has happened now. Compound fracture of the tibia and the fibula.
It makes you wonder, are people older than you?
I don't know. Well, they said the stanchion was bad. It was in a spot that was not regulation. But it's just bad all around. It's kind of hard to speculate. It's a freak injury. It's not something that's going to become a trend. If someone else breaks their leg like that in the NBA this year, then it becomes a trend. But
then Nike gets sued.
Yeah, then Nike gets sued. What was I going to say? But in the NBA, it's like, so The whole Chandler Parsons thing?
Oh, yeah.
You need him.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, then. The whole Chandler Parsons thing is interesting.
Who's Chandler Parsons?
He's the Rockets guy. So he was a second-round draft pick. And so he became a restricted. This is the whole Monte Ellis thing and the whole Gilbert Arenas thing. So remember, because Monte Ellis was great as a second-round pick, Gilbert Arenas was great as a second-round pick. The Rockets had it in their contract with Chandler Parsons that they could, have an option where they could offer him a certain amount of money, or they could release him for like $90,000. And so the Rockets decided not to pay him that money. And the clause was that if they choose not to pay him that money, then he becomes a restricted free agent. And so the Mavericks offered him a 3-year, $45 million deal. And the idea was that the Rockets were going to clear up enough space to get like Carmelo or Chris Bosh or someone to come to Houston. And so they traded Jeremy Lin to clear up space. And so what ended up happening was Chandler Parsons gets his contract offer from the Mavericks. 3 years, $45 million. He's not worth. But the thing is that the Rockets, because they wanted to save the money for when they wanted to go after Bosh, they decided not to offer money to Parsons, paying $900,000. And Parsons like, fuck that, I'm becoming a restricted free agent. And so the Mavs are like, we're going to pay him 3 years, $45 million. Match it or he's ours. And so the Rockets are like, fuck that, we're not going to pay that. Because they were still in on Chris Bosh.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris Bosh is like, fuck that, I'm going to get max money with the Heat. And so that was probably the most interesting thing that happened. The whole Carmelo thing. That
really?
Was bullshit.
That's the most interesting thing?
Because I don't... LeBron was in the same lane.
Why not?
Because he wanted max money. And he told Riley that. He wanted to be paid like he was the best player in basketball. And Riley was like, if you want to continue to compete for championships, we can't have you
Cleveland
paid
Cleveland was like,
max
we'll
money.
Take you back.
So Cleveland was like, capitalist. Here.
Take all of my money.
Take all of my money. And so now...
It's like when you get a really good video game release, you're just like, take it.
Take my money. Shut up and take my money.
VMware Chronicles. I'll buy it twice. And then sell for $200.
I'm going to buy a Wii U now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just going to be cheaper by the time it comes out. They delay it, right? It's going to be like $250. Yeah, it's going to be like the price of the original Wii, essentially.
They need new games. It's so funny that the only three games I really am stoked to play right now are... The Xenoblade Chronicles sequel, Metal Gear Solid 5, and Kingdom Hearts 3. Those are the only three games I'm worried about playing right now.
Fair enough.
The only three.
What about the new Smash?
That looks fun. I like the gameplay that we saw.
What I don't get is why can't the Smash community move on?
They think they're super cool with Melee. They're like, we're so obsessed with this game. It's what makes us.
Well,
it's like...
It's gotta be like
whatever.
Well, it's gotta be so what was interesting, and I think this is a great time to segue into Evo by talking about this before we get to this year. Was that for the longest time, Super Turbo was it, right? For the Street Fighter community. You had Third Strike, you had Capcom versus SNK2, you had these games that people were big fans of. But it was like, really, Super Turbo's still the shit. And they tried Brawl, and nobody liked it. They did it for 1 year. Like, you know,
I don't understand why.
It's because...
They say it's too fun, like, you can knock people around.
Because the fact that they're like, it's not a tournament-ready game. That's their idea. It's not tournament-ready. And there's actually a friend of mine who's in the Smash community, Jesse, who...
Jesse who?
Urban. Who, is big in the Smash community, and he wants me to commentate for them. And he wants me to come over and learn the game and stuff like that. And
Jesse Irving.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So
Jesse Harrison Irving.
Yeah. And so he wants me to come over and kind of learn the game because they get together every week and
Where's he playing at?
I'm not sure. I don't know if this is his house or someone else's, but he's like, yeah. So I totally want to be a part of that, and I will. After the baseball season's over, I'll get in on that so I can... Every time there's a Wanmei Dojo, you're going to get me for 5 hours, so fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you can make hilarious commentary on Smash Bros. I think that's totally fun.
I'll get to drop the wobble wobble shake it shake it because nobody says that. Because nobody in the Smash community listens to hip hop.
Yeah!
Nobody listens to fucking Cash Money Millionaires from the 90s. It's like, come on, man. You ain't heard of Wobble Wobble? Come on now.
Wobbly wobbly drop drop like this.
You're damn right, man. God damn. Shout out to Master P and Juvenile and Wheezy and Baby and Manny Fresh and.
Wow.
All you motherfuckers.
But that's awesome. Yeah. Just to hear some memories. Yeah, so. You had a pretty hardcore Smash crew.
We did.
When that first came out.
Right.
The first one.
Andy and Ben and I and Gurry.
And Gurry.
Jared.
Blake.
Yeah. And we played Brawl, right? We played Melee for a while. We played Brawl.
But my whole thing is like, well, okay, no, that, understandable. If it's too floaty, like if the physics aren't quite right, I get that. That makes perfect sense
to me.
What's
interesting about it is that the physics for Super Turbo and Third Strike were way different. For Third Strike and 4, they were way different. But they evolved. And they're still Super Turbo Turners because that's what started the whole fucking thing in the first place. Because
the community was clamoring for something.
Right. And they always did, like, Alpha. Right? Alpha 3 was the first EVO tournament that was that. And then Third Strike.
The community, you know. The Street Fighter community was always looking for a reason to evolve. Like, they
did you good thing.
Well, that, god damn it. But they really, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. But
cheers.
They did.
Cheers.
When they had Third Strike, it was like, cool, Third Strike.
Right.
But that game got broken down fairly quickly.
Oh, yeah. It became
and so, once...
Shout-outs to Rodriguez for being the only Akuma for 2007 EVO. One, and it looked so bad.
And so, I mean, Third Strike was still a popular game, but it was not a main stage game.
No.
Because it had been figured out, and people realized that there were... Pretty much two characters that you played. It was Yun and Chun-Li.
No, and Ken.
But Ken was not on the same tier level.
Right, but
as
Ken
that.
And Chun-Li had the same...
No, Chun-Li was...
Dude,
Chun-Li and Yun were literally... It's like God tier Chun-Li and Yun.
Right.
And then Ken had really amazing tools. And so he was up there. He was
like
an
eight. He had the most broken super in the fucking game. His Super R2 was ridiculous. He had three bars and was short fucking bars.
Well, it's no different than, like, Chun-Li's.
Right.
Same thing.
Chun-Li had two, though. For her bars.
But
hit the readiness, yeah, because Chun-Li and Ken had the same idea. It was zone out, low short into Super R. That was what they were trying to do all the fucking time. So, but you're right. And I think it's because of the fact that depending on what the community wants, like how long did people play Marvel, right? People played Marvel 2 for a long, long time. And
as soon as Marvel 3 showed up, Marvel 2 was dead.
Dead.
Because the scene wanted to grow.
Right.
They were, they worked with what they had. There were other fighting games that were released that came out.
Right.
There was like Neo Geo Battle Coliseum. There was, like Capcom. Oh, I can't remember what the fuck it was called.
Chaos. Fuck that shit.
Well, Chaos, but there was something, there was another one where it was like a,
the Capcom All-Stars or whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah, and it was garbage.
Yeah.
But they gave it a chance and tried to play it. But they still knew what was crap and what wasn't, but they wanted to evolve.
Meanwhile, CBS2 was fucking, fuck that game was awesome. CBS2 was one of my favorite games of all time.
Well, but CBS2 still was in the same realm.
Kid was broken as fuck.
It was still in the same realm as Third Strike.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You could, like, Sagat. Level 4 Sagat Kid.
No.
Yeah.
Not level 4. Nobody played level 4.
No, there was a couple level 4.
No. Level 4 just means you just play Sagat.
Yeah.
Nothing else. But everything was... Sagat, Blanka, Cammy, or Bison, Cammy, Blanca, or...
Rolento was a part of that, too, for a little bit. No. Who was the... Oh, Yamazaki. He was a big... He was, like, the only guy in SNK side. Eagle, Rock, those guys.
Yeah.
But Rock, that's who was in. But it's just, like,
Sakura.
Sakura.
Actually, there is variants.
Not a lot, though.
But everybody did V-ism. That was a big thing. V-ism,
oh, that's right.
V-ism was
the
custom combo.
Yeah, custom combo, and you have to store the super.
Yeah. Well, no, you didn't have to store the super.
What was the one? Wasn't there a combo? There was one.
No, there was not. V-ism was the only combo one.
Groove.
It was C groove, which is Capcom groove.
Yeah.
You had the
three
meter.
Bars.
The three bars.
There's the SNK groove.
Yeah.
S groove.
There was P groove, which was like parrying.
Mm-hmm.
There was K groove, which was like the more hits you took, the more
the
damage you would
meter.
Do. Yeah. But that was, I mean,
that was it.
I mean, CBS2 was. It is a cool game.
Yeah.
And if there was a game that the companies wanted to make, that would probably be the one that they should make, because the Marvel licensing is now through the roof.
Because of Disney.
And so, good luck on trying to relicense Marvel again for another game.
Right, and I think it's okay, because Capcom needs to take a step forward. But, I mean, this will be the last iteration of Street Fighter 4 before there's a 5, and I think it would be interesting to see what direction they try and go with, who they try and match up with, and but the game that everybody was talking about at this year's Evo was Marvel, and Street Fighter 4 had
why Marvel
because of Justin, and
I'm writing an article called Appreciate Greatness,
right.
And the whole premise of the article, not to cut you off,
sure,
is I think it's you can apply this to all things. I associated it mainly with NBA and a little bit of baseball and football. But how we can spend so much time hating greatness as it's going on that it's not until the greatness, or that time frame of greatness, will have passed us by, and then when we're looking down memory lane, we
you're
go,
like,
damn.
Oh, fuck. Right.
My biggest case in point was Michael Jordan.
Right.
I hated Michael Jordan, and my reasons for hating him, I really couldn't give you one specifically. But I know that you were just an unabashed Jordan fan. Absolutely loved. Yeah, you freaking... Tim literally, in sixth grade, did his autobiography. Like, you had to stand up in front of a class and do a biography on somebody. Tim did it on Michael Jordan. And he was...
And I remember...
Outside of being going blackface...
Right.
You...
Although I didn't win.
No, you didn't. You made it to the finals.
I made it to the final, but I didn't win.
Yeah.
Meredith won because she dressed up as Albert Einstein and went the full Monty with the fake mustache
and she's
and the wig and did the German accent. And I was just like, fuck, I can't follow this.
Fuck you, I can't.
If you try to be as racist as her, it's unacceptable.
Yeah. If Tim was like, hi, I'm Michael Jordan.
My name's Michael Jordan.
I'm from North Carolina. They're just like, you're racist.
You're a white boy trying to...
But that's what you're saying.
That's the whole start of the article. I talk about... I did not like Michael Jordan. You know, and they're... Not the... And they are not always good guys. And they're not loved by everybody.
Right.
And you very much have that in the fighting game community. That's the whole point. I hated the Cowboys growing up. I hated Derek Jeter and the Yankees growing up. Why did I hate them? I hated Derek Jeter because everybody wanted to slob on his knob for being Captain Yankee. With a note.
Hands on baskets. Thank you for a wonderful evening.
But
so good.
You know, he would beat the A's almost every other year in the playoffs, either in the championship series or the division series, and he would always hit a home run, or he would
make the play.
That fucking relay play with Jeremy Giambi. You know, there were all these little things. I hated LeBron James, even though the Celtics beat him time and time again. I hated him because I felt like he had this unwarranted access to being the king of all that is basketball, because the media wanted another Michael Jordan.
Sure.
And I felt like he had the talent, but he hadn't earned it.
Sure.
And I hated that.
I bet.
With Jordan, he was just the best. And he just won six titles in 7 years or eight years. I mean, he absolutely dominated people, and he was a borderline sociopath, and he beated all the teams that I liked. He beated the Jazz. He beated Charles Barkley, when I thought Charles Barkley was awesome, the Phoenix Suns. He beated every single person that I liked.
Cool Cliffy.
And he just did it time and time again. And I just thought he was the worst thing ever. And I don't know if it was just because you were my older brother, and since you just loved him, I was like, oh, I can't like him. I can't put my thumb on it.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, Justin Wong very much had a Jordan-esque run during the 2000s with Marvel 2.
Six Evo Marvel 2 champions.
Seven.
That's right, we saw him
7. 7 and 10 years.
We saw him 1-7.
Okay, those other 2 years, I think he made grand finals 2 of those. The other one, he got like top 8.
Right.
And then he won a Marvel vs. Capcom 3 title.
Oh.
Was a finalist for another.
Right.
He top 8ed like Tekken and CBS and Third Strike.
He won, the year we went, he won 2. He won.
No, he won 1. John Choi is the only person
who John Choi won 2. That's right.
But I wrote an entire paragraph that was just the accolades at Evo. It doesn't even include what he did at NorCal Regionals, SoCal Regionals, East Coast. No other term. Just at Evo, he is the most decorated fighting game player in the history of fighting games.
Not even fucking close.
And he was loved by a good amount of people, because he was Justin Wong, but he was also hated by a lot of people.
There was respect, but yeah.
And the big thing, the whole point of the article is for us, for the community to really rally behind Justin Wong and be like, nah, this guy is the man, he's the best. They had to just completely hate him. You know, it was Justin Wong, and then everybody, like, Justin Wong was, like, the bad boy. Like, Daigo Umehara was this stoic Japanese machine who would methodically beat people.
He was an architect. He was a Japanese architect.
Yeah.
Almost stereotypical
type. Very much so. Yeah. And Justin Wong was very brash and emotional, and he would celebrate victories. Exactly.
And then go money at the strip clubs, because that's what Justin Wong does.
You know, very Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
And after Marvel 3 came out, for the most part, I'm not going to say Justin didn't win, because he did win some smaller events.
But he wasn't done.
He wasn't winning Evo.
Nope.
He wasn't necessarily top-8ing Evo.
Nope.
I don't even know if he was top-8ing Evo.
I think he top-8ed once.
But he kind of fell off the map in he had the last big, huge accomplishment before he made grand finals last year was his grand finals against Daigo in Street Fighter 4.
Right.
Vanilla Street Fighter 4.
Fucking ridiculous.
And then he got bounced by Snake Eyes and Gamer B in
10 or 09?
Street Fighter 4, whatever the next iteration was of Street Fighter.
Super. Yeah, 09.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was almost like he kind of fell off the map. You just weren't seeing Justin Wong. It was Ryan Ramirez. It was
Flocker, it was
Chris G.
It was all these other people. Right. And it was like, okay, Justin is, he's almost like gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very much part of the scene, and he was very competitive, right. And he was winning other stuff. But when we came down to like the Super Bowl, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so what I hate is that it takes for us to, in order to, for everybody to really appreciate somebody, it takes, and they have to see them crash and burn first.
Right. That's the thing, is it allows them to relate to them. And that's the thing. It's like, on the Street Fighter 4 side, it was a much different thing, is because, what's his name from France who won it?
Luffy.
Kind of came out of nowhere, right?
He did.
And
he was a good player. People knew who he was.
But he wasn't a guy who was coming to the United States and playing a lot of tournaments.
No.
And he was someone who, at EVO last year, wasn't really a big part of it.
Yeah.
And so, that's why when that happened, people were like, oh, okay, we got something here with Luffy, and we want to try and make something happen. And so if you're trying to watch EVO and be like, oh, who do I root for? Luffy was really easy to root for. It was really, really, really easy to root for. But for Justin, this guy who for the longest time was so dominant that when you knew that he was getting in the top 8, it was like, why the fuck are you facing him? Like, that's how good he was. You know, seeing him last year, when he, like, almost instantly became the fan favorite because of his comeback.
And well, then, he's always, everybody is always, don't get it wrong in that, and I almost did this, everybody loved the Justin Wong comeback.
Right. What was a ridiculous comeback.
Yeah, because his comebacks are always very
insane. Right.
But just, if he just would win a match, it's very kind of half, the crowd was like, oh yeah, Justin won. Probably a little bit more than half was probably like, eh.
I'll tell you what my favorite moment of EVO was, though.
What?
Ryan versus Apology. Yeah.
Why?
Because that was the most ridiculous time limit win I've ever seen in a fighting game. There's no fucking way. I sat there watching it live, and I saw Ryan go into his combo. You know, and I thought, there's no fucking way. And then he won, and I almost lost my shit.
Outside of Ryan, I don't think anybody can dissect a game like Marvel down to the crazy nuances like Justin Wong.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think if Ryan faced anybody else besides Justin Wong the past 2 years,
yeah.
I think that Ryan would probably have won EVO last year. He probably would have won last year, and he probably would have won this year.
Because Ryan, and that was the thing. And my other favorite part about that was the Ryan-Justin Wong set in Losers Finals. That was just... that was beyond incredible. That was like straight up one of the best best out of 5 sets in Marvel I've ever seen. That was incredible, just how well both guys played that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan ended up dropping two combos in the 5th deciding match. And when that happened, Justin
there was a moment when they played each other where they didn't touch each other
for like 20 seconds.
For almost like 30 seconds. Yeah. Like literally, they were throwing out moves and didn't touch each other.
And Yipes was losing his shit. Like Yipes thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
No, it really is.
It's incredible.
I mean, and that is a testament that those guys, they are the best. Yeah. Like those two guys, they really are the best. There's nobody better than those guys at that game.
And you know, Infred had a good run. Chris G again had a good run. But I do kind of feel like Marvel, because of what Justin has done, is opening up just a little bit. It's still way under where Street Fighter is right now. I think. And, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, Marvel's dead. And it's dead here. Like, it's dead in Northern California. But, the greater scene, I should say. But, like, what you just saw at Evo last month, it's like, there's a lot of guys who said, okay, if a team of Wolverine, Akuma, and fucking Storm can win this game, and Justin Wong is the best that ever fucking, you know, picked up a joystick.
A lot of that is that it's Justin Wong.
That's true. Yeah. But that shows you, and that's, you know, with Infert, what he did with Zero, right? And,
no, Infert played, that's, you're thinking of Flocker.
Flocker. What Flocker did with Zero, what Infert did, Infert is Nova and
Sentinel.
Yeah. But, like, the one thing I liked about Marvel was that it wasn't all the same teams.
Yeah.
That was good. That was, like, the one thing that caused the demise of Marvel 2 was the same six guys being picked all the time. And Clockwork doing Clockwork things, because Clockwork was Clockwork, right? But the other cool thing was that the same thing happened with Ultra. A fucking Rose just won a fucking major, right?
Yeah.
It was Rose and Zagat in the fucking finals, right? And it was, that's really cool. Again, one last year. And Infiltration used a Hakan.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens next, especially with Ultra.
Yeah, because everybody kind of had to do a 180 really
quick. Now, that's always been the big gripe, is that for the most part, Evo will play the newest version of a game,
right,
even if it is only a month and a half old.
And so, like, there's questions about, like, who people are going to main, like the whole John Choi Daigo match that went viral when John Choi 4-0'd Daigo.
Yeah.
What was interesting to me about that whole thing was, I think that more so than ever, and this was what happened in the World Series of Poker, was that the guys who were necessarily the best at poker ran into the odds. I think with Justin doing what he did and Luffy doing what he did with his character with Rose, I think you're starting to see specialization come back ahead of tiers, which is huge for any game. Parity is the most important thing that a fighting game can have. And
well, that applies to very
every basic anything. But
especially baseball.
But that's what killed Third Strike. Right? When we went in 07, 5 Chun-Lis, 2 Kens, and Rodriguez with his Akuma that everybody fucking got behind just because it was an Akuma.
Well, they were young.
They were, yeah, but not in the top 8.
Yeah, they were.
So, okay, maybe one young.
No, there was a lot of Chun-Lis. There were a few. It was mixed.
So, but it's like, but my point is, if you are trying to get into the fighting game scene, and you feel like you can pick up a character and really max out what a character can do because you like playing with that character, then by all means, what Leffy did is showing you that you can do exactly that. And that's awesome, right? I mean, you had a guy who was basically unknown saying, you know what, I got Rose, and she's a mid-tier character, and I'm going to show that I can do just as much with her as you guys can do with your Yuns and... You know, all that. And I think
I think a lot of people's questions revolve around, was it a benefit, I'm talking about Luffy, right, not Justin Wong, was it a benefit of the short turnaround for a new
because
game?
Because nobody knew the matchups. Yeah, I mean...
Well, not so much... I guess matchups would apply because...
I think that is beneficial, but I also think that... And this is the other thing. That means that people are selling the change from 2012 to Ultra is huge when there really wasn't that big of a change.
Yeah.
It really wasn't that monumental of a change. Not like it went from Super to AE. Super to AE was a pretty big change.
There was
a lot of nerfs. There were... a lot of characters who got beefed up, and so there was a radical kind of shift there, and then you saw Cammy just turn into the fucking character du jour, right?
No, Cammy was pretty ridiculous.
Right, and so with Ultra, there was fine tuning, but it was very subtle.
So far, I've seen the light bulbs, right?
I like it too. And I think it's going to be way more balanced because I think I've seen already just better matchups all around. The better players are still going to win, you know, 7 to 8 times out of 10. But if you're setting up a situation where you have a guy who's got a mid-tier character that's really good, and he's a good player, not a great player, and then you have a player who's not that great, but is using Yun, who's considered the top tier in Ultra right now, I would still take the guy who's using the mid-tier with the most experience.
Well, I mean, it's the argument. Well, it's not even an argument. It's the truth. If you're really good at fight, it's like when they would show early footage of Daigo playing with Hugo, and Hugo just absolutely is just crappy as a character. But when Daigo would play as him, are you cold? Just my shoulder. You're just showing off your gun.
Yeah.
But when Daigo would play as him, he made him look like he was fucking god tier.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and I feel that more than anything, you're going to see the specialization of characters.
Which is how it should be.
Which is the best.
That's how it was in Super Turbo, big time. You had people who would kind of show up and they would play their select character and they played them so long. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that it's almost like you want to find a character. Well, you don't have to do this. Some people do; they just want to play through the tier list because it gives them the best chance of winning, presumably. And I totally get that. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something to say about somebody who picks a character that they like and just plays them and plays them all the time. And they kind of understand matchups inside and out. And there's a big benefit to that. There really is. I played Alex in Third Strike. And Alex was not a top-tier character. He was kind of mid-tier. Not that great. Not that bad.
Yeah, he's kind of like Abel is right now.
But just the fact that I played Alex, and I played Alex all the time, it put me at such a huge advantage. I remember going down to Southern California, going to Family Fun Arcade, going to Arcade Infinity, and showing up and playing as Alex when nobody... Not, I don't want to say nobody, but there was not a lot of Alex players. There was a lot of Ken. There was a lot of Chun-Li. There was just not a lot of Alex action. So I would show up, and I would win 6 or 7 matches in a row. Then I would lose, and then, you know, I would hop back in line.
Right.
But for the most part, I was kind of known as, like, the Alex player when I would go down there. Because nobody else would have played Alex.
Right.
And so there is a big benefit to that.
Right.
Granted, you can't use it as a crutch.
No.
If you're going to go that route, you have to own it. And if you're going to lose, you're going to lose. And you can't just say, oh, I lost because that person picks top tier.
You know, I'm right there with you. I kind of feel like we run into these issues where players really want to pick a character that they feel is good. Whereas it's, no, pick the character that you can play the best and max out on that character.
Which is very... I've always felt that way.
Because
I think that there is a character for every person's personality. There's so many characters out there. And everybody should be able to find one where they're like, oh.
And that's why I like the YME community, because you don't really see a lot of like leaning towards top tiers. You see guys just playing who they think they're best with and going from there. I think that's great.
You know what else I found? There is a community at Outer Planes. They mainly play anime games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've had a lot of fun playing with those guys.
Yeah, they're actually just fun. They just like goofing around with fighting games. I saw.
Well, what's awesome about them is that they're very raw.
Yeah.
They're not basing their gaming off of what they see online. It's very much like going and playing back when it was just arcades, like if there was no internet. And they just play. They get together and they have like 12, 15 people and they just...
Right.
It's almost like if you had, like, when you always hear about like those isolated communities or tribes in the rainforest that have never seen modern technology, and they just... What would happen if they did their own thing? Mm-hmm. that's kind of what it's like. And I think it's really, really awesome. Yeah. They go and they play these different games. They play BlazBlue. They play Melty Blood. They play Street Fighter. They do all these things. Mm-hmm. But they really go out of their way to learn the games themselves. And I think that's so cool because you develop like completely different strategies. Uh-huh. You know, like it's almost like, and I do, in a way, have a problem with that when everybody just goes immediately to, like, the FAQs or to the forums or to the strategy guys. Because then everybody plays, they're like, okay, so this is how you play. This is what you do. And everybody does the same shit over and over and over.
I'll tell you one thing right off the top of my head that
I'm
really interested to see what the Street Fighter community thinks about this is the use of FADCs. And FADCs being used in combos when you have damage scaling in combos, right?
Well, you only use them for max damage.
But what I'm saying is that by losing two bars for that FADC, you're guaranteeing yourself damage because of the fact that you're using it. But the majority of times that you use it, I don't think it's the best use of
meter. I beg to differ. Case in point, you have to think of meter in life, and all your things are a matter of resources, and you're bartering with them.
Uh-huh.
And
but I just
what I think of is Magic the Gathering. And for newer players, the biggest turnoff to them is sacrificing life to gain advantage in other ways.
Sure.
So when you're first starting out, you think of, hey, you can draw a card if you give two life. Or you can draw a card if you discard two cards. And the average player will probably say, I don't want to give up life. Why? Why does this person not want to give up life? Because it brings them closer to losing.
Right.
But if you think of it as long as I have one life, I'll be okay and I can still win, it completely changes the game. If you were to build a character or a deck, you know, in the case of Magic, around I'm going to try and draw as many cards as I can without losing, I'm willing to go down to one life.
Right.
If that means that I can get my combo or whatever, you're willing to sacrifice the conservative style of play for a higher percentage of victory.
But I guess,
and so it really comes down to you have confidence in yourself and you have confidence in your character that you're willing to say, I can give up two bars because I know that I'm going to hit this combo, gain another bar, and then I'll be able to build another bar after that. You know what I mean?
I guess, but it's, I guess my thing is it's not a guarantee that you're going to get those two bars back.
But
you're doing, but the trade-off you're getting is for a scaled amount of damage after the FADC.
Not always. Sometimes you can FADC and not even follow up.
Right.
But you'll follow up with a knockdown in an advantageous position, which can add, which can lead to unscaled damage or unscaled combos.
But that's what I'm saying, that you're giving up 2 meters for that type of advantage, whereas those meters
that can be the game, though. That could be a round.
Yeah.
You could do big combo FADC, advantageous position that you don't follow up with, and then land another big combo, and they're at, you know, 5% health. So it's all, I think it's completely, it's up to the player. I mean, more, if you're a really good player, more often than not, you'll be able to burn the 2 meter and win. You'll lose some of the time. You'll drop a combo, or you'll miscalculate or whatever, and you'll lose. But more often than not, if you're a good player, you can burn the meter, get yourself in a good position, and win. You know? We just hit 1 hour.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
That's a good conversation. Is there anything else? We basically hit Evo.
Did you see the BlazBlue?
No, I missed it. Saturday was...
You should watch it.
I heard
just,
it was good.
Just go and just watch.
I heard the BlazBlue was probably the most hype final.
It was insane. Like, this was a year, like, people were, like, crying.
Yeah.
Like, they were losing in crime.
It was like when we went for KOF.
People were winning in crime.
KOF was... The year we went in 2012, the KOF final was even more hype than the big two. Like, it was... Like, it's completely sold the show. And it was... and that's cool to see those games come up. You're not going to really... Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to see it with Mortal Kombat. I don't think you're going to see it with Injustice. You're not going to see it with KI. You're not going to see it with Tekken. But BlazBlue is the type of game that, because it's rooted in a style similar to your Marvel, similar to your Street Fighter...
It's not even really that. It's the people that played it. Right. You need to watch it. Just go on YouTube and look up BlazBlue... Top 8.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
No, seriously, it's, like, insane. It went from, you know, it was an early morning game, it was a 9 a.m. game at Evo.
Yeah.
So you're starting the finals off with it.
Uh-huh.
And I came in towards the end, probably around, like, loser's semis or mm-hmm. loser's finals, and watched from there, kind of had it going in the background.
Yeah.
And it was an almost all Japanese... Because it had the biggest pot. It was like $20,000 or something for the winner.
That's huge.
And it was just nuts. They were so emotional over it. It was two Japanese guys in the final.
Uh-huh.
And they were so emotional over it. The guy that won came from Losers Finals and was in elimination round 9 times. And won every single time.
Wow.
And they were like, yelling at the machine, like doing these crazy, like Japanese, Oreos and
saw
shit.
This, I saw this.
It's nuts.
I saw the celebration in the Evo Moments package. The crowd was so fucking hyped for it. But
and,
I need to watch
and that was the case for the players. They single-handedly, drove the hypeness.
Yeah. And that's what happened with KOF when we went. That was, KOF, that was incredible. Absolutely, Mr. KOF, and what's his name? The guy from Southern California, what's his name? Renault was fucking. He was ridiculous that day. I totally remember that. That was an incredible, incredible fun.
Well, BlazBlue was nuts. They had a cosplayer. That's a dude who's transgender, uh-huh. dressed as a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny being on chat, and everybody was like. She's kind of cute, and everybody's like,
that's a dude.
It's a trap.
Japan.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
Ricky Ortiz is the biggest Hello Kitty fan on the face of the surf, right? So,
there you go. I guess.
But I want, before we go, my point, within two years, I guarantee you ESPN is going to come for the cans and say we want to broadcast Evo.
You think 2 years?
2 years. ESPN is jumping full force. And here's the thing. League of Legends is popular. StarCraft 2, popular.
They're more popular than Evo.
They are more popular than Evo.
Yeah, they are.
But with the ESPN engine behind it...
Here's the thing about the games... Fighting games are way more easier to follow than StarCraft or League of Legends.
And that's
because you have a character, life bars.
Yeah.
This life bar is going down.
Yeah.
You know who's
winning. Plus, it's in spurts. It's 5 minute, 10 minute spurts.
And there's also like, games, there's
eight,
like
2 hours.
Yeah, and then there's like, you know, like sports games in general. They have points. You know who's winning.
Yeah, it's easy to follow.
And
the League of Legends, it's like,
That's what I think. It's like, I feel
a
like,
mini map,
right.
And it's like, where's this person going?
But that's what I think. It's like,
they're going all over the place.
Yeah.
I feel that going forward, if ESPN gets behind Evo to the point where it's like, we feel that this is the best that we can show.
Well, for fighting game, yeah.
Plus, if it can get me on TV.
Of course. The only thing that I worry about the streamers and producers.
Right. And, that, and
the people that have put in time
that's
and time.
That's the part that scares me. Twitch is officially sold to Google.
Yeah.
And
the Googles.
And because of that...
So much anti-porn.
If people...
Check it out.
Right.
that people are starting to realize. If the networks are starting to realize that the streaming popularity of these games.
Well, here's the thing. Regardless of how many people look on a stream, it's like, oh wow, 100,000 people are watching the stream. That's awesome. That's great. If they were to broadcast it, just broadcast on ESPN2 or ESPN3, they will get more hits just of people being like, oh, what the heck's on ESPN3 right now? Turn it on.
And so here's a question then. How much would it take for ESPN to go to the cans and say?
Not much.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say.
And it'd be just throwing reruns sometimes, I guess.
My point is, if you have the choice with you have the premier event in your neck of the woods, you have the choice to let someone else take hold of it, or you keep it and you have a ceiling. Right? And so,
well, they've always been never sold out to any of the other
never have
professional and gaming stuff. There was never. All the MLGs, all the things that came, popped up, and folded, right. The Canons never bid on because they just, we'll just keep doing this organically. We'll just keep doing whatever the heck we're doing. Right. And it'll grow and grow and grow. And there is something to that, right. Because it's been happening.
And that's why I feel like the only way the Canons will say yes is if it's like they're going to take care of it. But that's my point. It's like, I think it will be great for Evo, but I think it will be bad for the community.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, there's always a risk of it just being a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
2 years later, nobody cares about it. Nobody's watching it. Then next thing you know, ESPN's dropping it. And then what?
And that's what, like, that's why, like, UFC's going to be in a couple of years. Like, they're basically going to be done.
Well, especially, not just because of that, but...
That, plus, the The idea of competitive gaming is great, the idea of televising the best competitive gaming is a great idea, because obviously you need people interested in it. But this is something that, because of how Evo started, right? Because of the fact that this is 20 years, basically, of this small group of people who have stuck together for as long as they have, it's like, it would have to take something monumental for them to say bye to that.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, it's the Canon's life. It's Joey's life.
Well, not the Canon's life.
But it's...
It's a big part of...
The big part of the
where
life.
They came from.
Yeah.
And I think that... I don't know. It's not as big as people think it is.
But the other thing is, do people think it can be bigger than it should?
Yes, and the thing is that it is getting bigger every single year. It's gotten bigger every single year.
And I feel that you should not, like, as much as I said what I said about in 2 years, like ESPN, I'm saying that more because ESPN is going to try and do what ESPN normally does when it comes to stuff like this. It's like, get it on TV.
Exactly.
Right. But with Twitch being there as a main supporter of Evo when Evo wanted to get going, and the fact that TV, as people know it right now, is forever changing because of the internet and the different outlets that are out there, I would be more inclined to hold on to Evo, keep doing it the way you're doing it.
Just let it grow.
And let it grow. And you still be in control, and you still having the ability to do what you want to do with that growth.
Yeah.
Because I know what ESPN will do. Because ESPN is going to do what they always do.
And be like, here's Mike Tirico.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Stu Scott.
Oh, seriously. Prayers to Stu Scott.
I didn't know. I know, like, we always semi-dumped on Stu Scott.
Because he became derivative. He became soundbite, but...
But still, I didn't know that. I went on to SRK and on the NBA. I think I just went on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they did this whole thing on him battling cancer, and I had no idea that he even had cancer.
He had cancer a couple years ago.
And then it like went away, and then it came back.
And
that, it was, it I was super
back,
sad.
Yeah, when it came back, it hit him hard. And
well, they just showed him, and he looked like he weighed like 120 pounds.
He was really, really, really weak.
It's horrible.
And his speech at the ESPYs was really good. It really was. And Stu and Rich Eisen were the guys who came from Keith and Dan. Mm-hmm. At SportsCenter.
They were the last old school era
SportsCenter. Yeah, they were the guys that, if you want a SportsCenter duo, they were them, you know? And Stu did become kind of derivative, you know? But at the same time, you know, you can't be so cold-hearted to see a guy like that going through what he's gone through and be like, eh, whatever. Like, that's rough shit he's going through. Him and Robin Roberts, the both of them have gone through an incredible amount with their respective cancer battles. And here's hoping that he can get through this one, you know? I really hope he can, and he can at least come back, because he was hurting. Like he said, NBA Finals, he was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that was done, he went right back in for treatment, and he wasn't sure if he would even be there, so... Here's open.
Show.
Sam, anything before we get off?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I was playing Chrono Trigger.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sam was playing Chrono Trigger.
Thoughts? Overrated?
No. It's,
no?
There's a ton. Like, I don't even hear about it much anymore. You know? It's like, okay.
It's kind of like the Final Fantasy VII.
By the way.
I don't know.
Earthbound's about to turn 20 years old in the United States. Dude, what up?
We may have to do a stream.
We will.
In here. Yeah. 24 hours.
Harrison, all four of us. Oh, God. Yeah.
Harrison's never played it.
Oh, Harrison's a huge Earthbound fan.
Yeah, he liked it.
He's a huge Earthbound fan.
Oh, but I will say, in Chrono Trigger, the Dragon Ball-esque art style Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, that's the thing, is the guy who drew Dragon Ball Z, they brought him in.
Yeah, the portraits, like, of the characters' faces, if you go to, like, the menu to check them out, it's straight up Dragon Ball
Z. Hey, that's Goku, wait.
No, it's Chrono.
And he's the same...
Oh, look, it's Chi-Chi. Oh, no, it's Luca.
Yeah.
And it's the same guy...
But it's awesome.
He's also the same guy that did some of the Dragon...
Dragon Quest.
Oh, man. So, speaking of which, Sam showed me... it was a Game Grumps... Do you know Game Grumps, Tim?
I don't know Game Grumps.
So, there was a Japanese dating simulator game.
Oh my
I don't remember the name of it.
It's like Senkai...
It's fucking ridiculous. Something. Anyway.
So great.
The whole...
I'm already all in.
It's, so the whole premise of it is like these big titty ninja warrior chicks, and like you're supposed to hook up with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the game is so horrible. It's done in like single frames of things. So it's like, let's look at a single frame of a forest for 10 minutes with rolling text on the bottom. And then like a character will pop up and it'll just be in this position for like 5 to 10 minutes.
That's his action pose.
This is an anime joke, but this seems like the same guys who took over from Neon Genesis Evangelion the second half of the series.
Sure. That I've seen that, but that is still over my head.
Go ahead.
But
it's because they lost all their funding and they had to do
it. It's kind of like this.
That's what Year After was doing that one episode of this animation. It's like, where'd the funding go? You can't put me back.
There's no money.
That's pretty much what it's horrendous.
So great,
but it's so funny. There's three of them, and they do voice acting. It's so fucking funny.
My find that I thought was
hilarious. I found myself in a forest, and I couldn't believe my eyes.
What they say, martial arts or?
Oh, yeah, Martial Arts or something.
Yeah,
Martial Arts. My favorite that you guys should
look up were amazing.
Is Hot Pepper Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Sam knows about it.
Oh, yeah.
So these guys do video game reviews, but they eat really, really hot peppers before they start the review.
And it's just a quick review.
And they try and do, like, 3-minute reviews, but they try and get through it while eating, like,
Ghost chilies.
And
wow.
My favorite one.
And they can't drink anything
until it's over. My favorite one is the Andrew WK one.
Okay.
It's incredible. I can't remember what game he does, but he eats a ghost chili and just, oh, God, it's so bad. I'd die.
Anyway, we're at an hour 20.
We're so good at this podcasting shit.
Okay, so just to finish on Chrono Trigger, because that was a gigantic sidetrack.
Right.
Just finishing. Just to sum up where I am, time travel, yada, yada, yada. I got to Magus. I battled
with... Did you die?
No. Actually, I died for the first time yesterday. It was fucking annoying. But I fought with Robo and Frog, because they're fucking
favorites.
They're so goddamn cool.
Frog's a beast.
Just keep Masamune and the Hero Metal. He just crits like...
Masamune was the name of the sword that Sephiroth used in Final Fantasy VII.
Anyways, yeah, so I guess there's... That's awesome. I actually didn't know that. Thank you. But it's... I guess there's something different that happens according to whoever you have
right.
in your party.
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
So I stuck with, like, the better ending, apparently.
13 different endings.
I'm not sure, actually, but don't tell me.
There's the shit ending. The shit ending is supposedly... There's a joke ending to that game that I have... I don't know how you get it exactly, but it's supposed to be incredible. It's like... It's just...
Oh,
like,
no.
It's a shit ending.
But, yeah, so I got Robo and Frog, and all we got was just, like, you know, a couple little tiny cutscenes. Nothing happened, but they went to prehistoric time. And anyways, we're at the Dark Ages thing.
Oh, cool.
And it's that giant hovering thing with the two hands that I died to.
Oh, that fucker.
Yeah, it's regenerate, blast. It's just, oh my god. I fought it for 10 minutes and I died.
So, yeah, Chrono Trigger is a great game.
I mean, I guess if you've already played it through with, like, all the endings, I'm sure you're, that
which
you're...
Which I haven't done.
Yeah,
like, that's the thing. It takes a lot to go through all 13 endings.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, that's, like, maybe, like, 100-plus hours.
Yeah. So,
like, if you know what you're doing.
I haven't played anything. I'm one of those... I haven't played, like, anything at all.
I know, same here. Oh, but I started... Since Pete's gone, I guess we gotta wait for him to help us sign off. But I was watching people play, like, PC... scary, you know, like, indie games and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fun one called Phobia, and it's just, like, the guys that did Amnesia, but it was, like, the first known game before they went off to do other stuff just like it. And so then I started playing Amnesia last night, and I immediately went, nope, after I, like,
yeah.
got through, like, the first place where you can encounter, like, the monster. I thankfully, like, didn't
yeah.
get chased by it,
yeah.
but I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, fuck that.
I forgot why I didn't like it.
Fuck
Earthbound.
That.
When does Earthbound come out? Or, when's the anniversary?
Let me make sure that we have...
Oh, that's like March 15th or something
well,
like
that.
Well, that
was the Japanese release.
Oh.
I want to see when it came out in the United States. If we pass it already, I'm fucking pissed, but let me see
well,
what we can do.
It was 95, so it can't be...
can I drop this on you guys?
Go for it.
Toledo, Ohio has had a ban on drinking water for 2 days.
Because their water shortage. That's
because
incredible.
Ohio sucks.
Is there?
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So the 20th,
sorry about
so the 20th anniversary of the Japanese release, August 27th. So we're 3 weeks away from it.
Okay, 3 weeks from now.
20 years old.
I may just simply buy a Wii U so we can officially play Earthbound.
And can I tell you what we have to do?
What?
We have to buy the house.
Oh, yeah.
We have to buy the house.
The house in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
We have to
yeah.
buy the house.
With the stuff down in the basement.
Yeah, with just this bullshit. But you get like a
it's
teddy
literally
bear.
Just one room.
You get a teddy bear.
So fun.
There you go.
Nice. So, all right, gentlemen.
All right, guys. Well, hey, another good one. We love this. Well, I'm going to put all we have 5 shows to put up. I'm going to put them all up at the same time. Listen to them, Los Livingston Brothers, on the iTunes, on the podcast. Pants optional. Yeah.
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 I'm off for 2 weeks, so.
Really? What are you off for 2 weeks for?
For this?
You took 2 weeks off so you could do this.
So I can do this podcast. No, so I can move into my house. Look at all this shit.
How are you able to take 2 weeks off?
Because I have 2 weeks saved up.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
So that means we're going to come over and do midnight podcasts?
Yeah, all the time.
Dude.
I have to insulate.
Yes, you do. You have to insulate.
All the walls here. Do the ceilings.
Uh-huh.
I have to set up my desk and my computer.
Mm-hmm.
All my stuff, because I have the outlet over there in the corner.
Right. You're going to have to get a
set up my,
you're going to have to get a surge protector.
Set it up over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That we're going to have, I have a card table that my parents-in-law's bought me.
Right.
That we're going to use to set up microphones for the podcast. So it'll be like me sitting at a desk looking at you two guys.
At a table.
At a table.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to have this here with this. I'm going to somehow get a TV, put it on the wall, or not. Or we would just have like an Asus monitor or something.
Yeah.
You can get them pretty cheap these days.
But
TVs. Yeah.
We're going to do it up.
Good. I can't wait.
Maybe we'll just start live streaming these fucking things.
We could live stream.
On
that
Twitch.
We could do a Twitch.
We'll set up a camera.
Yeah.
Boom.
Our game capture card and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. We can do that for sure.
Anyway.
We'll make it happen. Thank LLB, you guys.
We may actually start filming our shit.
Oh my God, we might actually be like getting our shit out to people. That
final words, Tim.
Please make sure to visit stompersbaseball.com. Please do. I do the broadcasting for the team. Good stuff. And also,
he buys a blow for the team.
Dude, totally blow. Also, if you have HBO Go,
yes,
watch Gravity.
So good.
So good.
And I've only watched the first act.
And my favorite show now is Last Week Tonight. John Oliver. So good.
Nice.
So good.
Sam, what do you got?
Yeah, just listen to Timmy. And also, I am finished with Archer on Netflix.
Oh, Sam is now
nice.
Caught up.
I need to get caught up.
Oh.
Pete, you're going to love that so much.
Well, I've seen
some
episodes sporadically.
Yeah,
and
but
it's just, it's freaking hilarious.
I'm glad you caught up, Sam.
But I need to watch all of them.
Sam's now all in.
Also, I need to watch all of The Archer.
Phrasing. Yeah.
Holy shit, snacks.
Just keep supporting us. Support the podcast.
And if anybody knows of a woman that I can date, let me know.
Sploosh, or whatever the man equivalent of that is.
Oh, Lord.
That was such a great opening line. I love that.
But we have the podcast. We have Twitter. We have Facebook. Look up Los Livingston Brothers. I'm going to be doing my Twitch thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be streaming mostly Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Hearthstone, and then when I get the bros around, maybe we'll do some fun multi stuff with Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Maybe some RPGs, stuff like that.
Cool.
But we'll have some fun. Maybe we'll have to stream Tactics.
Oh, God. Stream Tactics.
Like,
we,
for real, though.
We tried that before, and it didn't work out as well.
Well, that was different.
Weird.
But we have PlayStation.
Yeah, I think that was like.
I have my PlayStation 2 here. I have my PlayStation 3. I'm moving in here.
Okay.
Anyway.
Cool.
Well, we got a lot of stuff we got to figure out over these next 2 weeks.
Again, aren't you? You're
going to
be living in here.
Yeah, probably.
Chelsea, we love you.
Love
Rory,
you, babe.
Love you.
Chelsea.
I'll come out of here. My kid will be, like, running around. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're at an hour 28.
Sweet. All right. So we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Later.
Bye-bye.